Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
They'll be headbanging later on in the show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What does that mean? Oh. You'll have to wait and find out, bitches.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, you'll have to.
Wish I could fast forward to the end. No,
today
I don't.
On the show, we're not done with Anthony Weiner. We asked the question, what if Weiner were a woman?
His name would not make as much sense.
It wouldn't make you giggle like that. And the pseudo meltdown that his communications director had. We'll talk about that. And something that made me ask, is this a thing? We'll
spoiler alert, no.
Is this about typewriters? Because the answer is no.
It's not typewriters.
Okay.
It might have something to do with Sydney Leathers, though.
Oh.
That's also not a thing.
She's not a thing, no.
She is a thing.
Nobody's a thing.
She's a thing.
You sound like a mom.
Is being
nobody's
a thing.
Oh.
Use your words.
Is it a thing? It's a thing.
What? What a thing.
And we'll explore a song that's being called racist by some.
Everyone's a little bit racist and sometimes.
And stupid by others.
Those are the two opinions.
Doesn't mean we go around committing
hate crimes. Avenue Q, ladies and gentlemen.
That's some fine singing. That's some fine singing. Let me just vamp here for a second while I find something.
Vogue. I don't know. My mind turned to Vogue. Voking.
No,
Vogue,
not at
yeah.
all the same.
I think that happens every single time Nate says vamp for a second. We all just kind of go vamp, 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 vamp.
Yeah, like, no, what are we doing?
We are not professionally trained radio DJs.
Here's a slightly vamp related.
Professionally trained radio DJ.
But that's just me.
Oh. Slightly vamp related. When I was in Santa Cruz last weekend, we passed like a full-on wolf outside a restaurant.
Ooh.
Not even, I mean, there are big dogs like Irish wolfhounds or, you know, yeah. whatever. But this dog either was whole wolf or part wolf because it was like a Twilight character. Or maybe a full-on dire wolf. I don't know what it
wow.
was. But it was so big I instinctively just picked up my child and kind of walked around it more.
Was
because
its
I thought it was going to eat me.
Dave? Dave the wolf?
I didn't ask.
Because I used to be a pet sitter in Santa Cruz, and one of my clients was a half wolf, half dog.
Wow.
Named Dave. It was big. It looked like a wolf. And it was terrifying. This dog, it had boundless enthusiasm, but it would jump up. This didn't happen while I was house sitting, but it actually broke the front windows of the house, jumping up excitedly. And when I had to walk this dog, I could not control it. Like, then, you know, they would leave me for like 2 weeks and I would just hold it and run at a breakneck pace behind it. I never would let go of the leash, but it was essentially dragging me. So anyway, that was one thing I did in college
was
dog sit Dave the wolf, who lives in Santa Cruz, as far as I know.
Would he still be alive?
Him or his progeny? It was a terrifyingly large animal.
I think your boyfriend just called you old.
What'd you say?
I said, would the dog still be alive?
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm old. I don't know.
That's Nate. I just
you
don't.
Make a good oh, point. You make a good point. I just
I'm
suddenly
not
remembered
causing trouble.
I used to watch a wolf.
That's a good point.
For a job.
It all comes around, doesn't
love,
it?
Yeah. Love you, sweetie.
No, you're right. It was probably his son.
Son of Dave.
Son of the wolf.
Or maybe the point is that Santa Cruz is a place where people like to have exotic pets.
Yeah.
I also had a roommate that had centipedes as a pets, like these exotic centipedes. Oh no, gross. Millipedes. I'm sorry. Oh. That lived in these like terrariums.
Order of magnitude bigger.
And in a different house, I lived with a boa constrictor that we didn't have any heat in this house, so I would often wear the boa constrictor so that it would stay warm.
Oh, awesome.
This is before Britney Spears.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Welcome to Santa Cruz, everybody.
This is maybe more unpleasant than Santa Cruz is the German language. And I came across this week.
What a segue.
This is how German sounds compared to other languages. So let's take a listen to this. Aeroplane.
Avion.
Aeroplane.
Aero.
Avion.
Flugzeug.
Nice.
Okay, that's funny.
The next word is surprise.
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 Sorpresa.
Sorpresa. Presse.
Überraschung!
All out pronunciation.
The word is butterfly.
Papillon.
Butterfly.
Farfalla.
Mariposa.
Schmetterling!
The word is pen. Pen.
Stilo.
Pen.
Pena.
Plume.
Kugelschreiber.
Hey, so many letters.
It's true.
Many, many letters.
Not very efficient for an efficient race.
I love words and languages, though, right?
The word is daisy. Daisy.
Marguerite.
Daisy. Margarita. Margarita.
Gänseblümchen.
Oh, man.
The word is ambulance.
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 Ambulanza.
Ambulancia.
Krankenwagen.
What? It's funny every time. Like, it's the same shtick, but it is always funny. Good job, Nate.
The word is science.
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 Scienza.
Scienza.
Naturwissenschaften.
So that's how German compares to other languages.
Wow.
You're welcome.
And yet, we don't have an equivalent Schadenfreude, so ultimately, I'd say they win.
Schadenfreude is a very important term.
Now, Christiana knows Jeremy Clarkson well, who's the host of Top Gear.
Not, I do.
You don't, no,
well,
personally.
I don't know him well.
You know of him.
Someday.
Well, he claims that Germans cannot say the word squirrel.
But my husband says I can't say the word squirrel.
You just said it.
No, not according to him.
But I
you
heard
just
you.
Did.
I know, but he says
wait,
we don't.
Wait, say it.
I say it the way we say it, but he says it different.
How does he say it?
I can't do it that way. It's like the way he says yogurt. I physically am incapable of forming the word the same way.
Yogurt? Is that what he says?
It's not even like that. I can't do it.
Yogurt.
I feel like I should call him and have him like hold the phone up to the microphone.
Have him call the line.
Have him call the line and I will.
And save a message. Yogurt and squirrel. Yeah.
He can leave a message.
I'm feeding yogurt to my squirrel.
Exactly.
Record that. Yes. So this YouTube video is 10 Germans trying to say the word squirrel. I have not heard this. This just caught my eye, so let's see.
Now it's a video. We do it together.
Video. One dish.
Yes. We have to say the word squirrel, okay?
Was heißt das im Anfang?
Qualle.
Qualle?
Squirrel, 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 squirrel.
Squirrel.
Einmal?
Squirrel.
You know, I bet this was hours of fun at the concentration camp.
Oh, God.
Just laughing at the guards not being able to pronounce squirrel.
Oh.
No?
I don't know why you said that.
Everybody's got pursed lips, too. Except Ted, actually, is laughing.
And that's all that matters to me.
I'll call it.
It was so ridiculous. It was funny.
Yeah. What? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Squirrel. And everybody there was German, so everybody would have been not saying
that's,
squirrel the right
that's
way.
That's the joke.
So
really,
it's funny on a lot of levels because it made no sense.
Oh, that's I'm true. Like, sure. Even Anne Frank wouldn't have been able to say squirrel.
Well, maybe. She's Dutch. I don't know.
Was she Dutch? That's true. Yeah, she was Dutch.
She's
you're
Dutch,
right.
Right?
You're right. She's Dutch.
Mm-hmm. And she would have been a Bieber, a Belieber or whatever.
That's right.
But she would she
oh,
be able
God,
to say
oh, God,
it?
You've killed our fun with Germans. Move on to the next story.
Belieber? 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 All right. Never mind.
Hey, you know, I'm going to Seattle. I know I mentioned it, but I'm not sure about it now because an internal memo at the Seattle City Hall has been causing quite a stir, suggests the government no longer uses the term citizen or brown bag. According to the Office for Civil Rights, the terms are potentially offensive and other words should be used.
I don't get the brown bag.
Luckily,
stop
we've got
saying brown bag.
Luckily, we've got options. Elliot Bronstein of the Office for Civil Rights wrote in the memo, for citizens, how about residents? The Office of Civil Rights says Seattle serves all residents, whether they're United States citizens or not. Okay.
Okay.
And while city leaders publicize brown bag lunch meetings as a way to designate bring your own lunch time event, the term has a sordid history.
Does it?
It used to be a way people could judge skin color, Bronstein said in a phone interview.
What does that even mean?
No.
Does the public find it offensive? Most people agree it's not. But the city of Seattle isn't alone. State lawmakers have voted to remove gender-specific words in official records. Freshmen are now first years. Journeymen are journey level. And penmanship is simply handwriting.
And workman's comp is workers.
Right, I learned my lesson.
To offend or not to offend turns out to be a very sensitive question. So what's a person supposed to say instead of brown bag? According to the memo, people should try lunch and learn or sack lunch.
I had a Facebook friend that said he's more offended by the term sack lunch than brown bag for whatever reason. I think a sack just has
for men who may have lost a testicle to testicular cancer, I'm sure it's very hurtful.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't understand. A brown bag used to be the way to tell a person's skin color. Like, is it? Not just looking at a person, but you'd look at the color of the bag in their hand and then you would know what race they were.
That
I don't
person's
understand.
Brown as a bag. I've never heard that.
This is what happens when in Seattle.
You Google it, all you get is references to the Seattle story. So
yeah,
there's like
Seattle. Seattle is a very liberal place, and it's very open and very inclusive. And this is what happens when you go too far with your good intentions. You start taking out things that have no bad connotations or
well,
anything.
If they had an actual, I mean, if you have like a citation to something, or if there was somebody else, or like a.
But they don't.
But no one knows. I know. Yeah.
Like brown bag lunch is called that because brown
it's
paper,
a brown paper bag.
Is a thing. Yeah, that has been around for a long time.
Can we just call it a B word lunch just to play it safe, though? I don't want to offend our sensitive readers out there because I know people are probably offended.
Yeah, it's
trying to make up for the N-word thing.
I mean, I can see why I can see why changing the word citizen is like catnip for Fox News correspondents, but
yeah, and
that one has a more
I understand
okay,
it at least.
Like,
yeah, it's like if you're in Seattle and you're not yet a citizen, you're there on a visa, student or worker or whatever, the city of Seattle is there to service you as well. I get that. Mm. The brown bag thing is like, what? And really, is it that big a deal to change freshmen? Is that
most jurisdictions have changed things like journeyman or workman's comp or whatever. Most jurisdictions changed that quite a while ago, and schools have a varying degree of having adopted first year versus
or frosh
freshman.
Yeah, it's a different world, Nate.
What about the song? We were merely freshmen.
Well, they were at the time only freshmen. Now they'd be.
They can't be held responsible.
What about fresh people? Ooh. What about just fresh?
Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince, yeah.
The Fresh Princes?
Yeah. Well,
West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground.
Well, Prince, see, there's your problem. Like, Fresh Prince has to be like Fresh Royalty.
Oh, man.
Fresh Prince or Princess.
Can't win.
Fresh Monarchy.
Can't have that.
First comers.
Now, from Seattle to our own Sacramento.
Where's the song?
We're not doing that song.
Oh, too late.
No. Oh.
It's, why?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you even ask me? What is going on? What a brown bag full of crap. I don't know.
A Travel Magazine's readers have rated Sacramento as one of the 10 most unfriendly cities in the United States.
Because of this fucking song. I also object to that many words. Why not just 10 least friendly?
Right.
I mean, why
most unfriendly?
Sure, there was gunfire in broad daylight on a Wednesday at the largest mall, and a couple of years ago somebody stole an expensive bike from Lance Armstrong.
That shit literally happens everywhere. It's America.
But is Sacramento really that mean-spirited?
No.
Well, the readers of Condé Nast Traveler Magazine think so. One comment basically telling the city to get classy, Sacramento.
That's that dude who had that
it's
bar
nothing
and he had to
do
leave.
With being friendly, though.
I know all the complaints in that have nothing to do with being
it's like,
friendly.
Be fancier, Sacramento.
Each of the cities that unfortunately made the top 10 list get a paragraph explaining the poor scores. Here's Sacramento's. Sacramento might be California's capital, but it's a real disappointment. One reader comments that it's, quote, a bit dingy for being a capital of such a beautiful state, okay. And labels the city as not very impressive or classy or interesting.
Has anybody been to San Francisco? I mean, it's pretty much I love it, but it's the poster child for dingy in most parts.
It is true.
We can agree, right?
Yes.
It's never dog poop on the ground, you guys. Never.
And none of that has anything to do with being friendly or not.
No,
they're like, it's a bit dingy, most unfriendly.
They mean inviting? Anyway, sorry.
No, they don't. Okay. But here's the thing about Condé Nast Traveler. It's mostly high-income people who read it, who prefer to stay in five-star hotels and resorts, and prefer to travel abroad.
Okay.
So they're dicks.
We have three four-star hotels, at least. That should be enough for them.
But yeah, there's the
American... Four if you can't lower the Vage.
There's the American Motel over here on 16th Street.
America's Best Value Inn.
Sure, yeah, there's that.
It's the best value, for God's sake.
So here are...
It's friendly. How much friendlier can you get than being a good value?
I looked at all of the lists, and the friendliest places they picked are little podunk places like Charleston, South Carolina.
I think that's a major city, but okay.
It's not a major city.
Well, it's like a major enough city. I mean, no. At least as major as Sacramento.
They say with sand, sun, history, and good food and friendly people, Charleston is a constant hit with travelers who venture to this gracious and beautiful city.
Charleston's pretty cool. Have you ever had the little country food? It's so good.
Yeah.
Biscuits are amazing.
Okay, well, Condé Nast Travelers, Ted and Becca have a spare room. You can come to Carmichael. We'll take you to the Sunflower Drive-In to see the chickens.
We can't do it. That's why you guys aren't friendly.
We're being friendly.
No, well, the Sacramento here is not being friendly.
Yeah.
Christiana.
Yeah, how about you take a walk around the park at the Capitol and take a look at all of the grounds there and look at that? How about you go to McKinley Park and look at the Rose Garden?
Maybe they only went to, like, social or something.
Or go to the zoo and see the baby tiger and the baby red panda and the baby lemurs and the baby river run hogs, whatever
they're
called.
They're all very friendly.
They are.
It's true.
We're not mean.
No.
Are we?
So here's the list of the least unfriendly cities. Sacramento, 10. Number 9, Anaheim.
Which is bullshit, because it's the happiest place on earth. How could it be unfriendly?
Number 8, Wilmington, Delaware.
Well, geez.
Number 7, Albany, New York. I will attest, Albany, New York is a shithole.
But is it unfriendly?
That's another state capital.
How can Delaware be unfriendly? The whole
what
state.
Else did they have going for them? I mean,
there was that mention in Wayne's World,
maybe
but that's pretty
mad
much
about
out.
What
that.
Am I doing in Delaware?
And you know what you are? You're opening a post office box to be a front for your credit card company.
Oh, there you go.
Is really what you're doing in Delaware. There's some inside knowledge, people. The 6th most unfriendly city, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
5, Atlantic City.
I'd never been.
4, Detroit.
There's just nobody there to be friendly.
They're destitute.
There. Number 3, New Haven, Connecticut.
They're just friendly averse because of the insurance card.
Number 2, Oakland.
That's where they shoot you.
No, well, no. Or they hold. They recently KGO, which is the ABC station in San Francisco, had a news crew robbed at gunpoint in broad daylight with a security guard with them. They have an armed security guard with them. They still got robbed,
and it's not the first time that's happened.
No, it's not. And the least friendly city in the country is Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New
Whereas
Jersey.
Newark City is the friendliest city in the world, right? Condé Nasty people?
Yeah. Condé Nasty. I'm going with that. Being called unfriendly makes me mean because I'm just like, suck it,
no,
people.
Not.
We don't want you here anyway. You're mean. Go away. Yeah, that was true. My best mean. How'd it go?
All you rich people with your disposable income.
Actually, you should come here.
Yeah,
please.
But that, like, the little blurb about Sacramento is the. I think the textbook thing you say about Sacramento, if you've never come here.
Yeah, it's not a major metropolitan area. It's not going to be San Francisco.
But we have some good shit here.
Yeah.
We do have good shit here.
Yeah.
We have some good shit.
We have lots of trees.
Arts. I think that it's San Francisco if you cut off like the bottom layer of the really bad restaurants.
Ah.
We don't have a lot, but what we have is quality.
Yeah, there's restaurants, there's an art scene, both theater, music, and other things.
Comedy. Amazing comedy.
And it's easy to be here. Like, it's easy to park. It's affordable. You know, the drinks are affordable. The food is affordable. It's very walkable. Our city has the urban forest. You're in the shade. You
know, most treed city in the world next to Paris.
And it's just, I don't know. I find Sacramento it's very comfortable.
It's,
in a good way.
It's easy for people who either came here for 5 minutes or have a sense of superiority to crap on it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
That's true.
Because they didn't bother to spend any time looking around. Arnold Schwarzenegger, we couldn't get that guy to leave.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, but we also couldn't get him to live here.
Which was lame.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Jerry Brown does.
Yay.
True.
Jerry.
All right. So you mentioned San Francisco. They have a lot of Asian people there.
Oh, nice.
Okay. How's that for a transition?
Sure.
Awkward, but yeah.
Sure.
There's a band called Day Above Ground. They've released a song called Asian Girls. You know, before I talk about anything that has to do with the song, let me just pull it up for you so we can play the video. Now, the band, after threats, said they were going to take it off the internet on Saturday.
And it'll never be seen again.
But I downloaded it.
Of course. The internet never forgets.
Yeah, the internet saves everything.
So, yeah, let's. It's featuring Levi Tran.
Is that one of my people?
No, she's an Asian girl, Ted.
Levi, I was thinking Levi for some reason. Never mind.
So here's a song. Starts out pleasant enough.
That's, yeah, all right.
Well.
Sure.
Is this serious? Like, any of it actually serious, though?
No.
Like, even the guy's singing face kind of seems like they're a little in on the joke. And it works, because we're all talking about them. What? Korean barbecue. Bitch, I love you. I love your creamy yellow thighs. Ooh, your slanted eyes. Now it's the year of the dragon.
That's right, Ninja Pussy, I'm Stabbin' was that lyric. The earlier one when you said what was butt fucking all night. Superstitious feng shui sheet. What? Don't lay your head by the toilet.
Your green tea boba, so put your head on my shoulder. I don't think this is serious.
So no,
it's just not very funny. I think it's a problem. Pushing your daddy's Mercedes, girl, you drive me crazy.
Asian girl, she's my Asian girl. So, what has this band done before this?
I have no idea, but basically, it's being called one of the most. The Huffington Post called it either the most racist thing that's been around for a while or the most racist thing ever.
I guess. Yeah. Shark soup. What? Fuck it. We'll eat it. Oh, tradition. Yeah, yeah, baby. 'Cause you're my Asian girl.
But people are treating this like it's a like it's an earnest song, right?
Yeah, they are.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be funny, I imagine.
Yeah, it is. And
it's not very funny.
It's not funny. It's like, not good music, and it's also... Yeah, no, I think they thought they could be edgy and novelty and...
So the model that's in it, who's Levi Tran or Levi Tran, tweeted, I sincerely apologize to all who feels that I set Asian women back 50 years. I know I lost respect from a lot of people. It wasn't my intention.
That's the old... I'm not apologizing. Apology.
But she didn't stop there, Ted.
Oh, okay.
She went on to apologize many more times. I sincerely... Oh, here we go. That was on the 31st. Again, later that day. It was meant to be lighthearted and fun, satirical. They're sweet boys and not at all racist. That's all I will say. I'm sorry once again. Until the next day, when she said, I'm so sorry once again to anyone who was offended by the video. It wasn't my intention. I truly apologize.
Okay. I feel it.
Then on the second, to anyone who's willing to listen, I am truly and deeply sorry for my actions pertaining...
Oh, man.
...pertaining to it. And then it's an Instagram link, but it's not a picture. It's a long apology. Words cannot describe how saddened and embarrassed I am to have offended people with my recent actions. I deeply regret my participation in the video. Reflect me showing disrespect of the Asian community. I am extremely proud of my heritage, and although I'm unable to take back my actions, I am holding myself completely accountable. I've let myself down, but more importantly, I've let the people who support me down. It was never my intent to hurt or offend. Regardless, I am truly and sincerely sorry and hope that my apology might be accepted by anyone affected by my actions. She keeps apologizing
for
it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then.
And she was just in the video.
Yeah.
She must just be getting a flood
poor
girl.
Stuff, you know.
I mean, yeah.
That's pretty awful. It's bad. So I, as one does in these situations, and so that led to a bunch of threats. The band pulled the song off the internet last Saturday. They said they're yanking the video because the backlash has gone from playful to threatening. They Skyped into TMZ Live to respond to the outrage, saying it's a real thing. We didn't expect it to be such a backlash. They're pulling the video down for the safety of themselves and everybody we know. We don't want anybody to get hurt. So,
that's a little scary.
It's crazy. So in situations like this, you want to get perspective. So I went to our Asian friend, Brian from Kimon, and asked him to watch the Asian girl's video and weigh in with his thoughts. And this is what he had to say, parts of it. I would never have made it to the end of this video unless you had specifically asked for my input. Not because I was grossly offended, but just because it was kind of stupid and didn't really hold my interest. It was obviously racist, but so stupid that I didn't find it offensive. Ninja pussy? What does that even mean? It's funny because most Asian racial stereotypes and insults are hardly hurtful. We all eat sushi. We all know martial arts. We're good at math. Koreans have bad tempers. Japanese build the best cars. Chinese are cheap. He's Japanese, by the way, if you couldn't tell from this. Hmongs are all gangsters and poor. All late night tech support workers are Indian. Whatever. I honestly don't think anybody cares. I don't think anybody really cares. So he goes on to say it's not like other racial stereotypes where people's judgments are actually affected in a negative manner, like the stereotypes some people have about blacks or gays, which has negatively affected their view of them before they have even met them. So, the same sort of reaction we had. It's incredibly stupid. Mm-hmm. Is it racist? Yeah. But is it more than anything else? I don't know. Teddy, is that from you? Is that the noise we're getting?
No, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm sorry. Oh, I stopped. I made it stop.
No, it's okay. I just heard something weird.
It's unfortunate, though, that people get so offended at what they perceive as intolerance that they start threatening violence. You know, I mean, I don't know. It seems like the reaction is way worse than the offense.
Yeah, well, the other thing is, if people hadn't made a big hairy deal of it,
we never would have heard of this.
It would not be on my podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I listened to it. It's I laugh not because it's funny, but because it's incredibly stupid.
It's really dumb.
Super dumb.
Like towards the end, which we were talking over, there's just this like long list of pretty much just every Asian stereotype you've ever heard. They tried to like work into a rhyme somehow. It's just, it's really sad.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked porn.
Yay.
We've talked real sex. Well, here's a video that compares sex fantasy with reality.
Porn is different from sex in real life. Let's find out how. Porn star penises are 6 to 9 inches. Civilian penis, 5 to 7.
Civilian penis.
And while porn stars have very little hair down there, in real life, 65% of women and 85% of men do. Indeed, female porn privates tend to sport a similar look. But real-world vaginas come in all shapes, sizes, and colors.
And they're using fruit to illustrate.
What?
Real people need 10 to 12 minutes to get going, while porn stars... Male performers can hump for days. But in real life, 75% of men ejaculate within 3 minutes.
Speak for yourselves.
And though porn starlets seem to always have an orgasm through penetration alone, 71% of women don't. Now what about all the other stuff? Unlike porn stars, only 11.5% of women have had a same-sex experience. And only 40% of women have tried anal.
That?
It was banana and
just 22%
like...
say they'll take a hot load in the face.
What?
And only 30% will actually swallow said load. The portion of women who've been in a threesome is less than 20%. And while the internet is awash in female squirters, only 6% of women say they regularly gush forth. Finally, what about light bondage? Squirters. Well, only 40% have tried it.
Only? Well, that's pretty...
Wait, that's actually quite a lot. Yeah. So there you go. That's the difference between porn sex and real sex.
Oh.
Feeling hungry?
That was educational.
Yes. It was. There were a number of things in there that I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And because it's presented by a British lady, everyone listens as though it's important.
Right. It's educational when she says it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If it's Honey Boo Boo's mom, no one
says it. Reliable when she says it more than educational. Yep. She must be smart. She's British. That's one of those stereotype things, like we give credence to.
Everybody loves the positive stereotypes. No one's fighting against that.
No, some people do.
Really, there's a bunch of British people going, listen, I'm really not smart. I wish people would stop thinking I'm smart.
You're choosing, there are some accents that people do not assume are smart Brits.
No, I understand that. And those are the ones that I do. I try to, because everybody does the really smart upper crust one. I try to go more working class.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I try to go more working class with it. And I have not met a black guy who is trying to fight the stereotype that black men have big penises. There's no one out there fighting that. Listen, it's a horrible stereotype. This is a man. It's a horrible stereotype.
Except for the guy who then feels super self-conscious and concerned because he just has a normal or average size penis. That a woman's going to be disappointed because their expectation is like...
Lawrence Martin actually had a bit about that. He's all, stop praying on your penises. I'm not hung like a horse, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, I've heard occasional comedians doing it, but it's not the fight. It's not the fight to end stereotypes that it is in other areas.
I hear
you. Yeah, so there you go.
I mean,
the Nate Darling Show.
Sorry. I hit the button.
Cooler Tool.
Whoa.
We'll get to your point in a second. First up in Cooler Tool, Condé Nast Traveler. Becca.
Tool.
Ted.
Just based on that one thing we did, Tool, I've never read them before. Tool, I say, Tool.
Christiana.
Tool.
Snooty Tool.
Ma.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
We mean that in the friendliest way, though.
Up next in Cooler Tool, being super unaware.
Ha!
Ted.
Potato. I mean, I'm aware of what we're talking about. What?
Being super unaware.
I'll
explain where that comes from when we're done.
It's not as cool as you might think.
Christiana, what say you?
It's not cool. It's Tool.
Becca?
Tool. Mindfulness all the way.
Well, unless you're a stoner. Because we were all unaware about the brown bag thing. So that's where I got it, huh? And finally in Cooler Tool, porn. Christiana?
Porn is great. Sure, cool.
Becca?
It vastly depends. It varies a lot.
Yeah.
Well, sure.
On the spectrum from cool to tool, it falls in all places.
Oh.
That's what she said.
Ted?
Me, I would say, yeah, it's cool, except when it's not, but usually it's cool. And I'll go with the cool.
Yeah, porn's cool.
All right, there we go.
Except when it's, you know, the chick who was texting Anthony Weiner.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
Other than
that,
Hardcore
masturbator.
Oh.
Well, really, if you're not doing it on film, isn't all masturbation really hardcore?
Probably, yeah.
If you're doing it right.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
If it's just like, you know, a way to pass some time, you're not really that into yourself.
Like, literally not into yourself.
Or is it just that if you, as long as you don't look below your waist, then does that keep it softcore?
According to the MPAA, I think it does.
Yes. According to that. That if you're going to go with that definition, sure. All right.
Masturbating in the woods and no one is around to see it. Is it hardcore?
I was talking to a coworker today, and she was mentioning that they do yoga in McKinley Park, as a lot of people do.
Yeah. Saturdays.
And they went on Sunday, and she's like, I saw this woman masturbating under a tree.
Whoa.
They went by, she had like her hands down in her lap, so she's just sort of sitting there with her hands in front of her, but, you know, like kneeling down. And then she's like, and then she rose up, and we realized that she wasn't wearing anything under her coat.
Why?
So they decided not to do yoga near her.
Ah.
Okay.
Wow.
Just saying.
McKinley Park, they just rebuilt the playground. Things were looking up.
That's true.
The roses are in bloom.
McKinley Park is a big place, so you can masturbate under a tree and be nowhere within eyeshot of this playground.
I know somebody who I won't disclose. Well, maybe she's talked about it on the radio already, or on the podcast already. But there's somebody
who
have had sex in McKinley Park.
Yes, I believe that was mentioned at a certain point, but I won't bring it up again. Yeah, it's one of those things. I believe that there was mention of a flowing skirt.
What about the children?
The children are busy at the playground. I'm more amused.
That's
with
what the library's there for. Do it in the stacks.
but on Sunday there's like some weird church group that meets there.
What if someone's in the library?
You mean other than the homeless people?
Another aisle.
Becca likes the library.
I do.
I know. We discussed this before. I'm getting a library card, and here's why I'm getting a library card. The Sacramento Public Library does Kindle book loans.
Oh.
So you never actually have to go to the library other than to get your library card. And I want to read that Jesus book that everybody is angry that the Muslim wrote.
Okay. Ah, yes.
Yeah, and I don't want to pay for it. So there.
That'll show them.
Exactly.
Wait, the library that it's useful to you.
Yeah, it's true.
Everyone should have a library card. Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are listening, if you don't have one, go get one. It's important.
There you go.
Do you have to read anything or just have the library card?
At least have the library card. Because then when something happens like that, like the Jesus book, or you're like, hey, I wish I could read all the Walking Dead comics, or, oh, I never saw Veronica Mars and they're making a movie of it, so I should get the DVDs, and you don't have a lot of money, the library is there for you. Hey, I need Kesha's new album. Oh. The library has it.
Or if you're going on a long
road trip. Hold on. Why does the library have Kesha's new album?
Because they have everything, and I borrowed Kesha's new album from them last week.
It's art.
Do you not have Spotify?
We do have Spotify.
I have Spotify with commercials in it. Ted has the paid Spotify, but I do not.
Well, also, you go to the library to get a book on CD if you're driving down to Los Angeles or something.
Yeah.
Do it, folks. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, but what's weird is if you go to the library all the time and you're not buying books and you're not contributing to the tax base, then the library has less money ultimately. So sometimes you should buy an actual book.
Huh, but if you're going to buy a book.
Other times you could do it through Amazon. But Amazon has to collect local taxes now. I'm so confused.
Mm-hmm. Amazon does. And if you want to try this Amazon thing that you've heard so much about, start with us. Start at the Nate Darling Show. NateDarlingShow.com. You click the Shop Amazon tab or any ad on the page that says Amazon. It does the same thing. It brings you right to Amazon. And then you shop away to your heart's content. You save a ton of money on books, magazines, books on tape, the whole deal. They've got the whole schmear there.
They have Kesha's new album.
They do, in various forms. You can download it. You can get the CD. You might even be able to get it on vinyl, although I doubt it. Probably not 8-track. But here's the thing. It helps support the show, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. The other thing you can do to help us out is tell a friend. If you're enjoying the show, go, hey, I like listening to this podcast with these four really cool, kind of funny people. They play German words.
Kind of funny.
Well, it depends on the day.
Don't oversell it.
It does.
That's true.
you know, it was really interesting the other day, because this show sort of had two incarnations, and it sort of worked out that way. There was the original cast with Larry and Mel, who I love dearly, both of them, and then there's the cast that we have now. And I've come to the realization...
Oh, you don't love dearly. Yes.
No, I do.
I was just kidding. Actually,
you're still here.
doesn't mean you love me.
I felt comfortable enough to make a concentration joke around you.
That's true. That's
I'm not
love.
Sure Can't. That's how that
Let's
works.
Let's move on.
It is.
Next.
But you know what? This show is consistently better show after show after show than the old show was. We had some really rough shows. And, you know, I'm not putting any of it on those guys. I'm putting it mostly on me. Because as I've gone on doing this, I've gotten better at helping the people around me be better.
Oh.
So it's not a slight on them, but I really like the show that we have now. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to listen to. I love doing it. I love hanging out.
Whee!
Good times.
I love that people listen to the show and feel like they can hang out with us for a couple of hours a week on Wednesday and Friday, whenever they choose to listen. So yeah, nice job, guys, in case I don't say it. And it's, and again, not a slight to Larry and Mel at all. It was just a different show. It was a different time. And if the show is better now, it's because I'm better for having done it. Just a ton of repetitions.
All right.
I mean, we passed 2 years. Two years.
Awesome.
I have a question.
Yes.
Who in here listens to our show after we record it besides me?
Occasionally I will. I don't listen to the whole thing, but I'll listen to parts of it.
Based on California community property laws, I do, but only because Rob listens to it.
Ah, then maybe the same thing could be said for Ted, because sometimes I'll be listening to it and he'll come. I always listen.
It's exciting.
You'll come into the room and hear it also.
I'm sorry,
I need to finish my sentences. Oh my goodness.
But only after the first 3 minutes of the show.
I'm spent. You listen to the rest of it yourself.
But I'm always listening to it and trying to figure out how to be a better speaker. And so someday, Nate, off the air, we should have a little like public communications class about how to like best use our radio voices.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, a lot of it is mic technique, and I think you're doing fine. Because I can hear, I can hear everybody. Everybody is on the mic, and I can hear you, which Yay. is fantastic. That's step one.
Ooh.
The next,
I think I've really come a long way.
The next step,
audio humor.
The next step will be when we have that big burst out of laughter, learning to lean back a little bit. Yeah, or turning your head so that you're not just blasting.
It's fun for me though, watching like the seismograph here because it's really funny. It's like, oh my god, it's like a 9.9.
Yeah, it's like a big earthquake.
Thank you. That's my next tip I'm going to work on, backing away when I laugh.
You know, that microphone is super sensitive, so it's even more so than the ones that Ted and Christiana have.
Oh, so it's my laugh that's blasting out everyone's eardrums.
Your mic is down lower than the others, but yeah, when you laugh, it hits that microphone a lot harder.
Sorry, everybody.
No.
We're just too funny.
It's true.
We find ourselves too funny.
It's true. We're very amused by ourselves. So Anthony Weiner, he keeps giving and giving and giving, but this time it's not even him. It's the people around him. A former intern, Olivia Nuzzi, she began dishing the inside campaign details to the press in the aftermath of the revelations of the sexting.
Never break the intern code, kids. Don't do it.
Now the Weiner campaign communications director, Barbara Morgan, is fired back at Nuzzi. And you can expect Morgan to be...
I just really want to watch Newsies right now. Anybody? Anybody?
I've never seen it.
Okay. Oh, what? Oh, my God. Okay,
put it on the list of the movie dates.
Get
that
it from the library.
Are gonna have.
Okay.
Okay, well.
So here's what she...
That's what our silent retreat's going to be. It's just you and Newsies. You'd be sneaking into the woods and watching movies. Okay.
So after it made the Daily News, Talking Points Memo contacted Morgan... And here's what she had to say about the report.
To a reporter, on the record.
I'm dealing with, like, fucking stupid interns who make it on the cover of the Daily News, even though they signed NDAs and or they proceeded to trash me. She's referring to a non-disclosure agreement.
Oh.
And by the way, I tried to fire her, but she begged to come back and I gave her a second chance. She then went on to suggest that Nuzzi would have been unable to get a job in New York City's political scene as a result of her actions.
That's true.
She went on to say, fucking slut bag. Nice fucking glamour shot on the cover of the Daily News. Man, see if you ever get a job in this town again.
Classy.
So,
communications professional.
Yes, communications professional in charge of Weiner's campaign, speaking on the record to a reporter specifically for a story that is to be printed about her.
But we're not done yet. In addition to referring to Nuzzi as a slut bag, Morgan called her a fucking twat and a cunt.
Oh, you're not supposed to.
I was just reading.
She
expressed her dissatisfaction with Nuzzi's job performance. She sucked, which is probably more relevant set of criticisms to which she should have stuck. Morgan, who previously told the reporter that she was going to sue Nuzzi, has chosen to apologize instead. She said, in a moment of frustration, I used inappropriate language in what I thought was an off-the-record conversation. It was wrong, and I'm very sorry, which is what I said tonight when I called and emailed Olivia to apologize. I would have loved to have had, like, I would have loved to have seen, like, the back-and-forth reactions like they do in a reality show. Like this intern, after being called every word you can possibly call somebody, to get the apology call. Because how do you react to that? Are you like, yeah, okay, great, glad you're coming around, or are you just on the other end of the phone going, you bitch?
Yeah,
I don't believe anything.
I'd probably just kind of be like, okay, thank you, and then go about. But I love that she's like, it was just a moment of frustration. And then she says the exact same things to a reporter days later. Like, clearly it's not a moment of frustration. It's a pattern of speech for her.
Oh, my God. Just like Anthony Weiner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And here's how she addressed it on Twitter. It's at Barbara K. Morgan, if you'd like to follow her, by the way.
I really don't want to.
Not my best day yesterday. Should have known better. Been better. Gotta pay up. And then she posts a Twitter pic of a swear jar with $100 bills and a Visa card sticking out of it.
$100 bills, y'all.
So
I noticed in this article that they asked Anthony Weiner if he was going to keep employing her as his communications director, and he said, yes, absolutely. And so I'm wondering if, like, the entire Weiner campaign is really just sort of a test for, like, how much bad behavior will the American people put up with and still, like, at what point are you no longer electable? You know, like, he's going forward, even though he's got the sexting, his communications director is just going to keep calling everybody slut bags. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doesn't it start to just feel like a test these days, like a political test? How much crappy behavior will the American people still stand for in order not to elect a woman?
Oh.
Well, and here's as of the latest polls for New York City, Christine Quinn, who is a city council speaker, is the leader in the Democratic primary at 23%. Anthony Weiner comes in second at 18.6. Bill Thompson, who's the former comptroller or controller, fucking silent P. He's
comptroller. It is comptroller, okay. But they mean the same thing.
Yeah, 15.7%. And Bill de Blasio, who's a public advocate, 13.4%. So there is a woman on top of the primary.
Oh, good. I was worried she was losing her lead.
She is not, and that's the Democratic primary, not the overall election. Right. So the question was then posed on HuffPost Woman. Gloria Steinem asks, what would happen if Anthony Weiner was a woman? Well, I'm guessing there'd be a lot fewer pics of his genitals out there.
Ah, good call.
So it goes on to say, if Anthony Weiner was Antonia Weiner, how would her story play out? Gloria Steinem has some pointed thoughts on the matter. So the cut's Jenny Avins caught up with Steinem at the Cinema Society screening of Lovelace. It's an interesting movie to see Gloria Steinem at. But there you go. They chatted about how the now twice disgraced New York City mayoral candidate and his wife, Huma Abedin, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, sorry. But at least I'm not disrespecting you by sending pictures of my junk. Steinem observes that if Weiner's gender were switched, things probably would be playing out differently. I mean, just imagine if there were a woman who had photographed her pubic area and sent it out on the phone. Would she be a candidate? Steinem also said she has a lot of respect for Abedin, who's been working for Hillary Clinton for years and doesn't think Weiner's behavior will impact Hillary's possible run for president in 2016. No. Why would it? She said. Why would you even ask that question?
That seems a bit of a stretch.
You know who wouldn't ask that question? A man. I'm kidding.
A white man, maybe.
That's right.
I don't know. Make it worse. That's all.
Steinem will not be voting for Anthony Weiner come election day. Back in April, she told New York Times Magazine she was endorsing his opponent, Christine Quinn, because she's a woman. No. But she doesn't hold Weiner's ill-advised sexting against his equally pro-political wife. I strongly object to holding one spouse responsible for the other's acts, she told the Times on July 25th. He's the one who should get out of the race. So what do we think? Do you agree that this would be a very different situation if it were a female candidate?
Yes and no. I think there's probably several reasons why we have not seen a woman candidate have this kind of situation, and not just because there is a lack of female candidates,
right?
But
there's binders full of them.
I think that
that's a callback from the election. Sorry.
I think the I don't know. Still, the questions primarily around Weiner are like, how could you be so dumb, or who does that, or whatever. But it's not. It's still not the equivalent of like, oh, male slut. He's a more reprobate. Like, he'll eventually come back and try to run again. They all do. So whatever. I don't know.
The one thing I was thinking about that popped into my head immediately when I was reading this article was that back when it was the presidential election and in the primaries where Hillary was running against Barack Obama, there was an article in the Hillary made a speech somewhere. I do not remember what. And she wore a blazer and like a silk blouse underneath. And the blouse was not tight fitting, but I guess it was low cut enough that you could see about a half an inch of cleavage, just a little bit of, you know, shadow between her breasts. And there was an entire article, and I believe it was the Washington Post, about whether this was acceptable and, you know, whether she could be taken seriously and whether it was fair. And, you know, Hillary Clinton's like tiny little bit of cleavage was the source in a major newspaper of a whole article. And so I was thinking, you know, when Gloria Steinem says, what if a woman was texting pictures of her vagina? Like, I definitely think it would be different, because I think that women's bodies whatever they look like, whether they're like old or young or fit or not fit, are talked about much more than men when they're in the political landscape. And so I don't know, I just definitely think it would be way
fewer women would assume they could get away with it.
Yeah, I think that's true too.
Women who self-select into running have a really high like threshold and probably a lower sense of self-delusion than men, because it takes a lot of convincing to get a woman to run, and I just think fewer women would do that.
And to show
someday
their,
they will.
And to show their vagina, I mean, or vulva, or you know, whatever you want to call it down there.
Crotch.
Their pubic area.
Crotch, yeah.
Nether region.
The pubic area. How's the pubic area going? Is it the pubic? Never mind.
Pubic
sorry.
Region?
That was a, like when you first started hearing the word pubic when you were like a like, you know, an early teen. It was funny, the pubic public thing.
Ah.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
But
it's not really anymore. Or is it?
Oh. But Ted and I were also talking about with politics how you kind of can't tell what's going to knock someone out of the running or not. Like, it's amazing that Wiener is still there. Like, we were talking about the different things. Like, you were saying, who was it?
Gary Hart a long time ago. Like, mm-hmm. He had a picture of a lady snapped on his lap, and that was it. He was out of the presidential race.
Well, or like Howard Dean made a weird scream and he was out of the race. But like, right. Some people can commit all kinds of things that the general public thinks are not okay, and they're still kind of lovable scamps and they move forward. And I don't know what to attribute that to. Good personality, good PR.
It's usually if the transgression matches the predominant narrative, it has traction. If it goes against the narrative, it gets left behind. So Mitt Romney is an out of touch rich dude. So when you catch him on tape saying things that an out of touch rich dude does, then it like,
yeah, it resonates.
Has a tremendous amount of power.
Well,
if he had been caught on tape being like, secretly when I'm president, I'm just really going to, I'm going to enact even more sweeping health policy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, eh.
Oh, that's interesting. That's
well,
a good analysis.
And Gary Hart, at one point, there was something going on. It was very early on. He challenged reporters to follow him around everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he was a dumbass.
Don't get on a boat called Monkey Business.
Yeah. He says, follow me around everywhere. I've got nothing to hide. And then he gets on a boat called Monkey Business with his chickies boning on the side. Idiot. And that's
why
I was like,
Gary Hart delegates, and we have a ton of like Gary Hart political.
Oh no!
Very sad for them.
And then you followed up with your John Kerry thing in West Virginia.
Well, that was yeah.
It's a family tradition, isn't it?
Well, I was a Howard Dean person, and I was flying. I was en route to New Hampshire at the time the scream occurred.
Oh.
And by the time I got to New Hampshire, I was like, "What happened?
Oh,
seriously, what do you mean?
What did
he
happen?
Didn't what?" Why is this the thing? Yes. That's just audio equipment. Any AV nerd knows what happened. Come on.
That was the worst.
Yeah. As someone
in
who,
the room, it all sounded the same. You couldn't distinguish his noise from anyone else's.
As somebody who grew up in Vermont with the Governor Howard Dean, President Howard Dean was not a good option.
Oh.
Just saying. He was
he
not
embodied the anti-war spirit I needed to hear from candidates.
Sure,
at that point
and
in time.
I understand that, but yeah, he was not the best choice. So just saying.
Well, neither was John Kerry.
No, there were not good choices.
Clearly, George Bush was the best choice. That's why he won.
Yeah, well, that's
politics, everyone.
That's
and
how
democracy.
That's how it works. I heard about this thing the other day, and I need to know if this is actually a thing. Apparently, women are all steamed up over spa treatment for their privates.
I've never heard of this until you put it on our show prep.
It's a trend, like typewriters.
It's called the V-steam.
It's not a thing.
It is.
According
because
to
they're doing it.
They're selling it for $50 in L.A., so apparently they're
thing.
Trying to make it a thing.
Pungent steam arises from a boiling pot of mugwort tea blended with wormwood and a variety of other herbs. Jeez. Above it sits a nude woman on an open-seated stool, partaking in centuries-old Korean remedy that is gaining a toehold in the West.
Is it really centuries-old Korean remedy? Like, is it really?
Is it really gaining a toehold anywhere?
Like an ancient Chinese secret?
Oh.
Vaginal steam baths called chayok are said to reduce stress, fight infection, clear hemorrhoids, regulate menstrual
that
cycles.
That might be true. That it, part sounds like
that
it
was
has
the one
actual,
thing
like,
that I thought might be true. Because sitz baths are what
right,
fix that, right?
Right?
So that's kind of like a sitz
bath. I don't know that you'd want to like add more, because heat dilates and you don't want more.
I don't know if you need mugwort.
Blood flow in the vein.
Wow,
but
so informative.
Mm-hmm. It supposedly regulates menstrual cycles and aids infertility, among many other health benefits, it says. In Korea, many women steam regularly after their monthly periods. apparently to steam to get it all out, I guess. I don't know. There is folk wisdom and even some logic to support the idea that carefully targeted steam may provide some psychological benefits for women, but there are no studies to document its effectiveness, and few American doctors have ever even heard of it.
You know, I can't get angry anymore about the story because I have such a cute sleeping cat on my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. Everything's okay.
It sounds like voodoo medicine that sometimes works, said Dr. Vikin Sakahayan, medical director of Pacific Fertility Center in Los Angeles.
Is that a Korean name?
It is not. I believe it's a foreign name.
Sakahayan.
It's foreign.
Nikki Han Schwartz, I'm going to go German, believes it worked for her. After 5 steams, she found she had fewer body aches and more energy. She also became pregnant 8 months ago at the age of 45 after attempting to conceive for 3 years. Han Schwartz, her husband, orthopedic surgeon Charles Schwartz, are determined to introduce vaginal steam baths to Southern California women.
No.
Their Santa Monica Spa, Tikkun Holistic Spa, offers 30-minute V-steam treatments for $50.
$50 sit over a teapot.
But Ted, good news, the identical treatment is available for men to steam the perineal area. So we can go and get our taint steamed. We really should do that as a podcast.
Yeah, we were going to go to Happy Day Spa, but instead we're all going to go get our
Happy Day Spa.
Like, yeah. Taint steam. Happy,
yeah. We're going to go get a taint steam.
Oh. Sorry. That's just funny. But $50? I mean, just brew a pot of chamomile and sit down in your kitchen.
squat over the
tea
kettle.
I like the doctor who was like, I'd be more concerned about burns. That sounds
right?
Really bad.
Steam, I know. Yeah, steam
Wait,
can
seems
hurt.
Super dangerous.
And it's very sensitive down there. I don't know that I need like hot.
No.
Wait, honey, are you going to be doing this in the kitchen now? Because you advise our listeners to do it in the kitchen.
Don't mind the towel over my lap.
I'm sorry. I did advise that, huh? Don't listen to me. I'm not a healthcare professional or an esthetician. Or a gynecologist, don't sue me if you get burned taking your private parts over celestial seasoning.
Well, they talk
sleepy bear time.
Some Z's for your V. Yeah. Dr. Laura Riley, who's the director of labor and delivery at Massachusetts General in Boston, says, "I don't understand psychologically how putting steam up the vagina is going to change your fertility or help you relieve stress." And she should know she has one. There's plenty of data that supports the mind-body intervention and how that improves fertility and decreases stress. But steam itself in the vagina doesn't make any sense to me. It's not like it's going to blow up some closed tube.
Like a lava flows.
The placebo effect might do it for some people, she says, but it wouldn't do it for her. She continues, someone who believes it's going to work might get some benefit, she says, but I'd be more concerned about burning my vagina. That's a very sensitive area.
It's not a vagina. It's a, what is it?
Well, I guess if you steamed it, you could get steam in the vagina, yes.
No, I'm trying to, I have a lot to learn.
That's true.
A little bit in there.
I don't, it's
maybe just a little bit.
So you're saying it's not a thing?
Not
it's a trend.
A thing.
it's a thing.
Shenanigans.
See, this is why people make fun of Los Angeles. It's stuff like this.
Oh, because, you know they're doing this in New York too.
Yeah, but
the other article said Manhattan. But there's don't even
right. But there's nobody in Cleveland getting a V steam.
I hope not.
There's nobody in Sacramento getting a V steam.
There's nobody in LA getting a V steam. Is the one pulling from this article? Holy crap!
Yeah, it was. Tamara Mari, you know, the TN Tamara, the twins.
Yeah, I love that.
That's where I heard about
sister,
it because
sister.
They've got a new reality show. And on this reality show, which I don't watch, I saw this on TMZ, they went and got the V steam, or at least one of them did.
Asterisk, they were compensated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Move on.
Yeah, it is time to move on. Sorry. Enough talking about the V steam. Hold on a second.
Sorry, V-steam is not funny, but taint steam makes me laugh.
I'd get my taint steamed.
You would?
I don't know.
Sit on the teapot.
For $50?
Well, I wouldn't pay for it myself, but, you know, if someone wanted to...
Just use a bidet. It's like soothing and cool.
Or a shower.
Who has
soap?
Access to a bidet?
French people.
My grandparents have one at their house because they're Italian. That's what you do.
Oh, there you go.
We use it to wash our feet in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to treat me to a taint steam, you know, sure, why not? I'll steam clean it.
Go to Amazon.com. Oh, wait.
No, they won't do that. Sorry. Hey, it's time for Florida Corner.
Yay.
From Lee County, Florida, the sheriff's deputies arrested 24-year-old Ryan Warosh just after 2:15 in the morning after he allegedly told 911 dispatchers he had a gun in order to get a faster response. He's charged with misusing 911.
Again? Come on, Florida.
I know. Deputies were initially called to the Keys Bar in Fort Myers in reference to a physical altercation. Several minutes later, while deputies were en route to the scene at a normal pace, a second 911 call was made from the location. This time, the caller identified as Warosh, claimed to have a gun, and said shots had been fired. Because of this information, 8 deputies arrived on the scene. When they got there, deputies say he was seen that Warosh was seen screaming at the top of his lungs while on the phone with dispatchers. When the deputies confronted him, he told them that he and his friends had been in a fight. When asked if he had a gun and if shots had been fired, he said no. According to the arrest report, he said, "I saw the shooting today on TV, so I figured you guys would get here faster if I said I had a gun." He was placed under arrest and transported to the Lee County Jail.
Do you know why this story is not totally credible to me? It's because it's from WINK News.
Wink.
Who trusts Wink? Right?
Nice.
That's terrible.
I don't
the
know.
W stations have way too much leeway to make stupid words. If like the other girl was from a dumb name station too.
Way.
The one who got fired. What station? She was from
way?
Something.
W-A-A-Y, was it?
Yeah, something
yeah,
like that.
Way.
Woo.
Wink. Stupid.
Now to the other side of the gender profile in Florida. Daytona Beach, Florida. A woman angry with her live-in boyfriend grabbed his clothes, threw them in the bathtub, and set them ablaze.
Oh.
It's according
that's
to police.
From, what's it called? Waiting to Exhale.
Lisa right. Left Eye Lopes, too. While Jessica Coyle admitted to police...
Did you say Lopes?
Lopez. Whatever. She's dead. It's not like she's coming back.
Hey.
She was chasing waterfalls. And while Jessica Coyle admitted to police she had done a stupid thing, her admission got her arrested and charged with first-degree arson. She
Wait.
Told...
Really?
Arson. Yep, first degree. She told officers she had argued with her boyfriend, Richard Johnson, just before 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday, and he left. There were 4 children at the home who stayed behind. That's when Coyle, who's 28, grabbed some of his clothes, threw them in a tub, doused them with gasoline, then set the pile of clothing on fire, but became alarmed when the flames quickly rose and grew into a large inferno. Gasoline will do that, kids. The 4 youngsters who witnessed the incident were standing outside when police and firefighters arrived at the residence. The Department of Children and Families was advised of the incident. That's according to the report. She's been charged with arson of a dwelling and culpable negligence and released from the Volusia County Branch Jail on $2,000 bail.
Okay.
How about don't burn people's stuff? Just saying.
Meh.
Yeah, I'm saying. All right, before we get to small town news, this happened on Fox News. They have reaction to reaction.
Oh.
It has remained quiet on the subject matter of the book, but cannot control its outrage over that question. Why did you write it? Brent Bozell is president of the Media Research Center, joins us now to talk about it. Brent, good to see you today.
He's also a stain.
Reaction to the reaction to Lauren Green.
Well, I'll be the first one to stand up and applaud Lauren Green for the question that she asked. It was the exact correct question that needed to be asked. Look, this man was a Christian who converted to Islam, and she had every right to ask him, she's asking him, in fact, do you have a bias? Are you being influenced by your faith to write what you're writing? He should have first and foremost said, yes, I am. To deny it shows the arrogance. And you saw his answer, just the aloof arrogance. How dare she even ask that question?
Look, I wish she'd just come out and use the word
uppity. The Muslim faith believes that Jesus Christ did not have a divine nature.
Bullshit, you fucking idiot.
God.
Learn about
therefore,
Islam before you talk about
if
it.
He is going to take the attitude, well, he's just
right,
a scholar. He just happens to be Muslim, that he really didn't care about this issue so much.
So
he's not a very good Muslim. First of all, the media can't stand you folks at Fox. I mean, there's a headline you didn't know. But what I find.
Did you get that, Ted? The media can't stand you people at Fox.
No. That's right.
But here's the part that I found most interesting. Just this, I'll play this one little bit.
Reaction to Lauren Green.
Well,
oh, hold on. I missed it by that much.
Got to talk about it. Brent, good to see you today. Your reaction to the reaction to Lauren Green.
Your reaction to the reaction of Lauren Green.
To somebody who's not on actual Fox News that nobody knew about before all of this. Anyway.
And does Fox realize that then they are saying you can't report on something that you're not and they're all right-wing
Yes, it's
butt
from
heads?
The same school of people who objected to the California Judges Supreme Court, or not Supreme Court, Prop 8 ruling
on gay marriages because he was gay and therefore could not be objective about marriage.
Of course not.
Because he's the other, only the heterosexual person could be objective about gay marriage. Because in that case, you have to not know about it.
Didn't Bill O'Reilly write about JFK?
Yes. And he was not, in fact, a Kennedy. It's
isn't
true.
O'Reilly's Catholic, though.
He is, and he's Irish.
Oh, I meant his.
But he's not a Democrat.
I'm talking about the religion. Your minds, whatever your beliefs are, whether your religious beliefs, your political beliefs, if you really think you can't write about someone else because you don't have the same beliefs as them, then you're an idiot.
If you're a white Anglo-Saxon or Catholic male, you can write about everything because you're the standard.
Oh, that's right.
It's really easy once you figure it out.
Actually, Catholic isn't even remotely the standard.
No, I know, but for the purposes of argument here, we'll let it pass.
Oh, okay. So we'll let your...
As long as you're the standard, it's cool.
We'll let your error in factuality
Well, I mean, compared
pass.
To Muslims.
Sure, exactly.
Right?
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. We go back to Plattsburgh, New York, home of the Press Republican, and one of our favorite things, speak out.
Passive aggressively. Yes.
That's right.
This is going to be good.
Sundays. Kudos to the downtown Plattsburgh businesses. I'm skipping the first one.
Okay.
Trying to revamp the economy. However, Sundays seem to keep some of the best shops and restaurants closed. Let's try to engage more spending by being available when those willing to spend are around, i.e. tourists and families.
Bet a Muslim person or a Jewish person wrote that. That's the Sabbath.
Well, most of the shops that they're talking about, though, are like two-person operations or three-person operations. They close on Sunday because that's the only day they get off.
Whatever. They should want it more and be more American and keep working.
Coverage. Don't go into a pharmacy without your insurance card or yell at the staff because your drug is not covered or you do not like the copay or you don't have refills. Know your benefits. Waiting behind you while you huff and complain is annoying.
I feel like it should be like Bob or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's so obviously like talking about one person, you know?
The person waiting in line behind this person.
Right. Is texting to speak out while they're sitting there. Yeah.
Assault. In New York, the victim of a public assault is expected to retreat rather than use lethal force only if he knows he can do so, with complete personal safety for himself and others, since turning your back on an attacker is always risky. Not really sure what that means.
He was just observing, though. I don't know either.
Hey, to all you drivers out there that deliberately block me when I attempt to pass, then go extremely slow and finish up with a vulgar hand gesture, you should know. I'm a healthcare provider responding to a medical emergency and hope that it isn't your loved one. That's right.
I will let them die on the table if I knew it was yours.
Oh, you drive. It's like he's got this complex. I'm going to block this guy.
Kevin Schwartz, passive aggressive surgeon.
Oh, my God.
So that's speak out.
Okay, well, if it's an ambulance driver, I feel it's pain. I gotta give it up to him.
I don't believe he's an ambulance
driver.
That's
a joke.
But yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, block him in.
Come on, guys, I really need to get there.
I do feel your pain because people drive like assholes, but they do come to Sacramento sometime. While the city is very friendly, the people can't fucking drive.
It's true. They can't use their turn signals.
No. That's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Yay.
I'll take the negative with the positive.
The
I have
worst.
No problem driving around here, which makes me think I'm the person you guys are all complaining about. Because I'm like, everything's fine. I'm so cool. I cruise around in the slow lane. Aww. No problem.
No, you're good. You do stay in the slow lane, which is
fantastic.
Yeah,
exactly. If you're in the slow lane, fantastic. That's where you want to be.
People that don't see, yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah, if you get in the middle lane because you don't want to deal with people merging on and off the freeway, then fuck you. Get out of the way, you dick. Because the most ignored sign in California... Slower traffic, keep right. Because they don't. Because they're jerks.
Bob.
Or they're too slow.
Bob. You know who I'm talking to.
Oh.
You. And if you don't look like you're threatening in any way, I might flip you off.
Oh, nice.
If you look threatening, I'll just ignore you and make like I don't see you as I go by.
Nice.
But I'll be thinking bad things and glance sideways at you.
Ooh, yeah.
So I do.
It's a good maneuver.
Although
Ted does that. He does the, like, he looks over the shoulder like, I can't believe how you're driving, like, after he passes the person, and I'm always like, face forward, Ted! Well, in my head, I don't say that.
No. Well, I feel like if you're in the left lane and people keep passing on the right, if you're the third person and you just make an eye contact, you know, people are passing you on, but maybe you should move over. That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, when people pull,
to be helpful.
But here's the thing: if you pull a dick move in traffic, all you need to do is wave, and I will forgive anything.
That's true. Because
you're like, my bad, I'm so sorry.
That's
but
true.
If I give you like the thumbs up or the big okay sign, you've just pulled the biggest asshole move ever.
Ooh.
It's so bad that I don't think giving the finger is enough. I need to give you the salute of, you are so awesome.
Sarcastic okay sign.
I like that idea that the wave just fixes everything.
It does.
Like any jerky thing you do and you're just like, wave. It's all better.
You're owning up to it. I agree.
We all do it every now and then. We will all not see somebody in our blind spot or do something. If you just go, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just a little wave, I'm sorry. Usually people are cool with that, and you can go on with your day. So
I did do that this morning, trying to get out of my car in like a crappy parking spot, and there was like a big shiny Escalade next to me. So I'm like holding my car door and very carefully exiting so it doesn't touch, and gently closing the door, and then turn around and walk right into the rearview mirror.
Aww.
And the guy's like sitting in the car, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, it's fine.
Was it his parking or your parking that was the problem?
It's just a bad lot.
Okay.
They're just, you know, but like his car's big, and I have, two-door car.
Oh, yeah. I totally understand.
Yeah, he should drive a smaller car.
That's his problem.
It's really what he should do.
Yeah, what
is probably. This Dio? Who is this?
It is. It's Dio. Rainbow in the Dark. I promised headbanging.
Oh, you
did not lie.
That's right. This is what you hang around for.
Nice.
That's going to do it for this week of the Nate Darling Show. Becca will be quiet somewhere next time.
Oh, have fun at WWE, you guys. I can't wait to listen to the podcast and hear all about it.
Yay.
Yeah, next time you will hear the tales of WWE Raw live from Sleep Train Arena in Sacramento. I wanted to call it a pavilion, but it's not. It's an arena. So yeah. We'll tell you all about that. Until then, y'all have a great weekend. Stay safe, and if you pull an asshole move on the road, just give the I'm sorry wave, and I'll be forgiven. Bye, everybody.
And signal.
Bye.